What's next? Brian Glazer? Having a press conference? I'm not a serial killer. Another nutcase. He's gonna crush it.
All right, Sage Ira is in the house. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is back. And Sage has been patrolling the locker room, getting in the faces of some of the Buccaneers stars. We'll hear about that. Jason Light was talking today, a rare news conference for him in the summer. Exciting times for the Buccaneers, Sage. We're 11 days from kickoff. Next week is our annual huge. We're going to have a couple wrinkles to it. Prediction podcast where we get to put the Sage's life on the line here with his picks.
They're off the next 4 days, Steve. They're absolutely off, and they're going to reconvene on Monday.
Camp Cupcake continues from Todd Bowles, extended. Got to have a lot of vacation.
A lot of happy faces in the locker room today, Steve.
A lot of happy faces with that, and we're really going to get into those picks of different things happening in the season, as well as analyzing your picks from last year, which...
I can't believe you saved it, Steve. I can't believe you saved it.
Of course, Ira, of course. Now, look, savings, that's what's going on this weekend at Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. You can't see how amazing it is from the outside, even though it looks great.
You can't miss it when you're passing it by. You can't miss it.
It's huge. It's the Giant. That's the nickname. 65-plus years they've been there serving the Tampa community. Curry is the family name, but inside... Biggest service department anywhere, most modern, 100 loaner vehicles.
They got cars on the roof, Steve. I look at the roof, there's cars up there.
Cars on the roof. Don't jump, Ira. Don't jump. But BillCurryFord.com, that's where you shop for a vehicle. Get there now and start shopping. Reach out to Sean Sullivan, the general manager. You can find him on the website, BillCurryFord.com. He not only will give you the Ira Kaufman discount, not only will he talk Bucks football with you, or whatever other kind of football you want to talk about, other teams, college, whatever, the draft. Of course, he's our JoeBucksFan.com draft guru. But Sean will give you honest advice and guidance. Even if you want to say, hey, you know, my kid's car is falling apart. I need one for him to get to school. I'm going to have to buy some to my Thanksgiving. Sean's going to lay it out for you, and he'll talk about anything you want to talk about in the car industry. He's a true asset for all Bucks fans.
And he's got a good staff, too, Steve. Got a good staff.
Absolutely. And they've got so many great offers. BillCurryFord.com. Fantastic time to purchase. And your trade is never worth more than it is right now. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, it's good to see you patrolling that locker room at 70 years old. Just doing it.
You know, Steve, I don't know how to take this, but I did notice that as I was walking around, guys were craning their necks like I was a creeper coming up. They wanted to see what the hell I had in mind. I'm not a serial killer, Stevie. You know, I ask innocuous questions. I'm not trying to hang anybody up. But it was very interesting because they kind of sense my presence, Steve. Make it out what you want. They think I'm coming up to grab them around the neck or something.
They feel you coming. And you know what? The interesting thing is in that locker room, you have the blessing of Mike Evans. Now, Mike Evans doesn't love all the media. He doesn't hate the media, but he's not like Johnny Media Guy, but he blesses the Sage at all times, and that helps, I think, with your...
And I haven't played the South Pal tape for Evans. Wait till he gets a load of that one. That's going to put me over the top. His voice carries in that locker room. If he tells, Jamel Dean, hey, this guy's okay, you talk to him.
Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira, that has to be everyone's disaster plan, their first phone call, whenever it is that they have a problem... Whether it's a flood in your home, under your sink, or a pipe bursts and you don't know about it till 3 days later, fire, storm damage, roof had an issue you didn't even know, and now you got a disaster, call Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the best. Check out their 5-star Google reviews, and that's their average, Ira. 5 stars. Incredible. And they've got the Ira Kaufman discount, $500. When you call them, mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan. After your free evaluation, after they come out with their technology and just check out the whole scene and give you a report and what you need to do, if you want to use them to battle your insurance company to get your money and restore your property, fix your property as well, not just restore it, you'll get $500 back. And it's a great offer, but it's a great company, more important.
I was just talking to my cousin in Galveston, home of Mike Evans, by the way.
And Hurricanes.
So he's very happy in Galveston and Hurricanes. And... About a month ago, Steve, I don't think it was Hurricane Debbie. I think it was another storm that hit the Texas coast. Now, his deck is 20 feet high, but he had stuff on the bottom, and he had he ate it 8 inches of water, got in on the bottom level.
Eight inches?
Lost his washing machine, lost his dryer, lost his refrigerator, and he had a lot of work that had to be done. And he said it was a mess trying to deal with insurance. He said it was a real hassle. Mold. And I know Josh is expanding, and one day I'll be able to tell my cousin, hey, call Florida's Elite Restoration. They are expanding.
Well, Florida's Elite Restoration handles the whole Tampa Bay area and beyond. Across the state, to the east, through Orlando, to the other side, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. The important thing is to get there now so you know who to call when you really have your disaster. All right, Sage. Well, look, Lee's back, which is always wonderful. We got your impressions.
We missed him yesterday.
Roster. On the roster. And I gave some impressions. And, of course, everybody can go back and listen to that if you missed it at JoeBucksFan.com, Apple Podcasts, a lot of platforms. Lee, when you saw the roster released, your feelings, your thoughts.
Lee, I said when the long snapper's a big part of the conversation, that means it's nondescript.
Lee Hergy listens to the podcast.
Yeah, well, I'll just be honest with you, and I skipped over the long snapper. I hate to say it. I hope his family's not listening, but I just don't care.
And he did a good job for the Bucks over the years. He did.
Well, Tyner, yeah.
Yeah, Tyner, yeah.
Got a Super Bowl ring. What more do you need to say? No real surprises. I guess if I had to be surprised, all these guys the Bucks were bragging about, that these weekday warriors on the practice squad to rush the pass through, who they sure as hell could have used last year, but for whatever reason, they weren't good. They were good enough to hide on the roster. They weren't good enough to make an impact. Those guys, they cleared. They're on the roster. We'll see if they're any good or not.
Jose Ramirez, Marquise Watts, who was only on the field a little bit.
Yeah, Marquise Watts, all of 45 snaps on defense last year. And I'll be honest with you, when he was on the field, he was always around the ball. So I thought he deserved more snaps. Now, I got to be fair here. Last podcast I was on, I said this team just does not value an edge rush. And I got some pushback from people in the organization, which I kind of thought I would. But they're right. That's not fair. I shouldn't say that. But they don't place the value on these guys like other teams. Otherwise, they would do something about it. Outside of draft guys, they're still in hope mold.
What about four tight ends?
Well, Keith is a special teams guy. That's really that simple. I don't think I saw Keith have more than 5 snaps with the first team all through training camp. I went to every training camp practice. He rarely was on the first team. Culp was, but not so much Keith. So it's pretty clear he's on the roster for special teams. I was told this years ago by a general manager, and it's pretty much true. If you're a backup, you can't play special teams, you're an endangered species.
Lee, here's a tough one. You think this thing about being homegrown, which the Bucks excel at right now.
Can I say something?
No, I'm going to get my question.
All right, you get your
question. It's his podcast.
I'm freaking out here.
Lee, the homegrown thing, do you think that in the end when they, you know, and maybe it even affects looking at other people's rosters and the late cuts, where they're kind of obsessed with homegrown, and could that end up hurting them where they don't go out and get somebody who's better?
Are they blinded by their own guys is what you're asking?
Is it possible?
Yeah. You know, they're proud of all these draft picks they signed, and they should be. But is there any other general manager that would be proud to have Joe Tryon-Chayinka, a first-round pick, on their roster as a starter? I would say no.
In year four.
Yeah. Is there any other general manager in the league who spent a high second-round pick on Logan Hall that would be proud that he's a starter? I would say no. And I bet if you gave Jason Life truth serum, he would say, you know what, these guys got to be better. So overall, I get the sentiment. They're happy with the homegrown drives. They're obviously doing well with the draft. There's no doubt about that.
Generally, but they've done very well with the draft in recent years. Nobody can argue.
I guarantee you, if they had a choice, everything being equal, had a choice between Joe Tryon-Chayinka and Josh Allen of the Jacksonville Jags, they'd take Josh Allen of Jacksonville Jags.
You think some of these guys, its investiture is raising its head? Or come on, Ira, what are you talking about?
Thank you for getting back to me, Ira. I was losing it for a minute.
All right.
He calmed
this
down.
This homegrown stuff, I got to say, it's a bunch of BS, and I'll tell you why. On a general scale, look, you're here in Tampa with the Bucks, covering the Bucks. You're not homegrown. You're from Brooklyn. You come in and you dominate. Who cares where you're from, okay? Nobody cares about that kind of stuff, and I say that from the standpoint of fans want to win.
Results, yes.
This game is about the fans. Nobody cares where the guy was acquired. We watched that in 2020 and in 2021. It's nice to have your own players. You want the front office to be successful, but really the bottom line is the wins and the losses. Now, you can put numbers on draft picks. I was saying to this, Lee, earlier. the front office is all about these metrics and analytics and stuff. Not that Light's a numbers nerd or something, but they still dabble and work with all this stuff. If you hit on a first rounder or a second rounder, that's way more valuable, should be, from a ceiling perspective, than nailing sixth and seventh rounders. I don't care that Josh Hayes made the roster. I got nothing against Josh Hayes, but it
What's
doesn't matter. It's not going to give us a W unless something really special happens. So I like the homegrown. It feels good. You want it to be that way. It helps with your culture. It really helps with a culture, which is valuable, but wins.
Do you agree with Lee's point that JTS in particular, if he wasn't a draft pick, and particularly a high draft pick, that he may be not on the roster at this point if he was just an undrafted free agent?
Of course. That's how the NFL works.
Yeah,
no shame on the Bucks.
Major investment they have in the guy. That's why they're giving him another, I say, six games max to prove himself. Real quick, Ira, can you name an impact play Servacie Dennis has made?
Lee, I think you're a little hard on Dennis.
Because he's always hurt.
I don't think we've seen enough of him to make a judgment, Lee.
The Bucks just got rid of Sterling Shepard. Why? Because he's hurt. I mean, every NFL team, including the Bucks, do that. If you're hurt, you better hope someone doesn't step up. The Bucks had a couple guys step up, a couple camp meet guys. Cody Thompson, although they didn't make the roster. And there's Cameron Johnson, who's a great story. But you know what? They were healthy. They overcame. They made an impact. Servacie Dennis, nice guy, smart guy. He made an impact in a worthless game last year, preseason game. What's he done since?
He's been hurt. Being a little tough on Dennis.
Yeah, look, he's a fifth-round pick. I don't really...
He's a hot-tub warrior.
He hasn't played yet. We'll see what happens. I'm just saying, Ira, I don't know fans who sit around the bar saying, oh, man, so many homegrown players. If they didn't have any homegrown players, that would be different, but... You know, if I have 88% homegrown or 62%, I don't think the fans really care.
But they've won three straight division titles. So
yeah,
it's working. It's worth it.
The Cowboys put Dalvin Cook on their practice squad today, Ira. And the Bucs have three running backs. Cook was obviously willing to go on a practice squad looking for a contender. Man, if he was on the Bucs practice squad, fans would be going crazy.
Oh, yeah, they would.
They'd be excited by the possibility, even if he doesn't make it. So my point is that he's not homegrown. It's just you pick a name or whatever. Fans just want to see the wins.
I think he's done. I think Cook's done.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think Cook's
done. Yeah. To Steve's point, when the Bucs won the Super Bowl with Chucky gutted the offensive staff, the personnel. Gutted it. Brought in guys from who knows where. Was anybody complaining after they had that parade in downtown Tampa?
Yeah, but
oh, man, that tight end they got. He came from Illinois. Ugh.
Yeah, Michael Pittman, woo!
Yeah.
Jarvicious.
McCardle.
Look, the Bucs have done a great job, but I just don't buy the celebration aspect of it. It's really cool, and if they win this year, it's even better. And, of course, Team Glazer, from an organizational leadership standpoint, has got to love, hey, you know, we're doing it the right way, but you still got to...
All the free agents the Bucs had when the Bucs won the Super Bowl, including Tom Brady. You hear anybody complain about that? No.
Absolutely not. And I ask like this all the time, because I think it's interesting. Look, the facts are the facts, Steve. First 4 or 5 years, he didn't draft particularly well. He just didn't. A lot of misses. I mean, a lot of misses.
One hell of a hit.
Last
Evans.
4 or 5 years, but most people would have taken Evans at number 7 or whatever. But he took him. He did take him. Steve, a marked difference the last 4 or 5 years. Marked. The Winfields, the Worfs, just go down the line. He gave a substantive answer today, Lee, about character. And not taking a chance on these guys and not even putting them on the list, some of these guys that would have made his list the first 4 or 5 years. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah,
he learned from his screw-ups.
See if you guys agree with me. He had that answer. I heard him. I was there. Right behind you, Ira.
Yes.
And light bulb went in my head immediately. Jameis.
Oh, you thought of Jameis.
I thought of Jameis. Yeah. So look at the nonsense they had to put up with Jameis. He said he changed his philosophy. He changed the philosophy to only stick with good characters. Was that because of Jameis?
Interesting.
The current mold, under that mold, they would never have drafted Jameis Winston. They probably would have taken Mariota, which probably wouldn't make anything
but
better.
But 30 teams would have taken Jameis Winston, Steve, probably.
I don't know.
Teams that are looking for a quarterback.
Well, got to remember, I didn't respect him as a head coach. Wesley Hunt, he said flat out he had no use for Jameis. Flat out.
There's other guys like Hargraves didn't have the highest of high character. Noah Spence had issues. There were a lot of things going on. the Bucs don't win the Super Bowl without the 2018 draft, which yielded Whitehead and Vea and Ronald Jones, who was a massive contributor, actually averaged 5.1 yards a carry that year, Ira, which is insanity in these current times.
We'll take 4.1.
And along with Carlton Davis and others. So it's been great. Sage, Jason Light at the podium today. Your thoughts?
Well, the first thing I think of, Lee, and I think it's fair. However you want to describe it, this is the way I'll say it, Lee. He's feeling his oats.
Oh, yeah.
He's feeling his oats, Lee. And what do I mean by that? Well, we've been around this team a long time. We know when Light talks at the end of a season or if there's a coaching change and he's at the combine and he's at, the meeting in March. And then after, draft night, that's when he talks.
And on this podcast.
And on this podcast. But Lee, he doesn't normally talk on the brink of a season.
No, he doesn't.
Well, what's next? Brian Glazer having a press conference?
Ed. I want to see Ed.
You want to see Ed.
I want to see Ed.
Lee, he's feeling his oats. And to a certain degree, it's justified.
I can think of only, this is his 11th year. I can only think of three times he's spoken before the season, in the summer. Training camp and preseason.
And he almost never talks during the season, Steve. Almost never during the season.
No, just very talks rarely. To Gene Deckerhoff, on that pregame show. And, sometimes.
Now, he did speak last year during training camp, did he not? That's one of those three that I can think of. And remember when he was about to sign, I can't remember his name, Buffalo Bills offensive lineman, that half the media room had a conniption, they were going to sign him. I can't remember the guy. He was a shady character, but he was a good offensive lineman. The Bucs had talked with him. Lovie Smith was coach, and Light spoke about that. That was another time. It was during preseason, and forgive me, I forget the guy's name.
Richie Incognito.
Incognito, exactly.
Incognito. Wasn't a bad player.
No. He made Pro Bowls after that.
Yeah.
Huge John Gruden guy. There's some great interviews of Incognito on YouTube, recent videos I'd recommend to anybody. But, Sage, let's get back to Light.
I'll tell you one thing I heard. He didn't deny, which I thought he would, that the team might be thin in several places.
But not weak. That's the word he used, weak, yeah. Because Todd Bowles last week said they're not deep at all. And like, whoa, kind of set off rockets, Like, what do you mean they're not deep?
Lee, I think the best way to describe it is untested depth.
Untested. True.
And I'll start with Kyle Trask. Untested depth. Now, you can say all you want about training camp and preseason, but the guy's thrown 10 passes. That count. That's untested, Lee.
Yeah.
And that goes to a lot of places like corner. Behind Bryce Hall, once you get behind that, untested, totally. And Light didn't push back against that. He probably didn't want to contradict the Bowles on that point.
Yeah, look, I think backup quarterback is a place next year that they actually invest in. I think they'd like to. I think Bowles would like to. And, bottom line, it's not where they were going to spend money this year, but they'll have more money next year. Somebody who might be able to stimulate Mayfield, work with him differently in the film room. Who knows, unless Trask plays three games this year and goes 2-1 and everybody's dying to have him come back.
One area where I don't think he believes they are thin, and I do, is running back. I think they're thin. Lee, I only see three names on the depth chart right now. Three. Running backs take a beating, Lee. They take a beating. And again, untested depth behind White.
What's the solution for that? Bring in some stiff that... He's got some,
I don't want Dalvin Cook.
I don't know how important that is, Ira, but anything else Light said to you? He was very compliment, very upbeat and quick about Graham Barton. Answered the bell. Didn't try to, fuzz anything.
Bredesen. Loves Bredesen.
Bredesen talked about the addition there. Unless I missed it, he didn't talk about Braswell, which I was hoping
he
would go there with him.
he's probably expecting me to ask him about Braswell.
I'm not a big Braswell as a rookie guy, not because he's a rookie. Just because I haven't seen it, I don't like everything I saw enough to say I think he's going to be that 6.5 sack rookie.
He talked about Mayfield and his mental outlook this year, more of a family man, more of a mature guy. He didn't really want to use the word mature, Lee, because he thought it had a negative connotation about. What are you saying about Mayfield a year ago that he wasn't mature? But Mayfield comes across a little bit different this year, Lee.
Yeah, I was uncomfortable only because, so he's got a kid. What does that matter? What does that matter? It's got nothing to do with football. There are all kinds of good players and bad players that have kids. There's all kinds of good players and rotten players that don't have kids. I mean, what does that matter?
You think Mayfield feels more secure in his status with the Bucks, and is that a good thing or a bad thing in terms of the chip on his shoulder?
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, Mayfield says the chip is permanent, and there's plenty of guys who keep that. I'm not comparing him to Tom Brady, but Brady was always like that. I agree with Lee on the – I can hear people saying, well, you know, a kid, that's very nice, except if we're never going to talk about a cornerback who had a child, or, man, Vita Vea is going to be better this year because he carries his seventh-month-old around training camp, then just stop it. Just because it's the quarterback doesn't mean just because he had a kid. I mean, Gerald McCoy had tons of kids. Maybe that's why he made six Pro Bowls.
Antonio Brown has kids. Gronk has none. Yet both are Hall of Fame quality players.
It's never come up in the Hall of Fame room that the guy's got three darling daughters.
Comes up at news conferences, though. You know. Anyway. So, Sage, all right. So you don't have a lot to say about Jason Light, pretty much.
He's very careful. He is. It's not a bad thing, Lee. It's not a bad thing. He's not giving away state secrets.
So we brought this up.
But he feels very good about this team, Lee.
You going to bring up the great line that Light had about character? It's your podcast. You should talk about it.
Go ahead, Lee. Go ahead.
I'm sort of paraphrasing. He changed his emphasis on selecting players. Now they have to have, we talked about this, they had to have good character. They don't have good character, forget about it. And then he said, you know, people ask him, well, does that make the team better? And he basically doesn't necessarily make a team better, but the opposite. When you have a team full of idiots, it's pretty obvious what's going to happen.
Well, I was thinking, the first thing I thought of was last year's Eagles, Steve, 10-1 start, then dissension in the room. And I remember I told this story on the podcast about a month ago where I was talking to a member of the Buck organization going into the Eagle playoff game. And this guy said, I said, you going to win this game? And the guy goes, they're in total disarray behind closed doors. That's what the guy said. And he talks to people. And he was right. They were in free fall, Lee. And it wasn't the talent necessarily on the team. They had talent. They didn't show up in Tampa that day for that playoff game.
No, they didn't.
Sirianni's hanging by his nails. So I thought it was interesting the way Light put it. It doesn't guarantee you're going to win.
That?
And Steve, you disagree. That you can't. That it's hard to overcome.
I think
are you thinking about the old Raiders?
Raiders. Well, I think you're better off with high character players, but let's not go crazy with this. Okay, Antonio Brown was here. They won a Super Bowl,
but he did behave because they had good character guys to clamp down on him,
keeping them in line.
But my point is that you can have plenty of guys who don't necessarily fit the character mold. You have to have the right people around. You have to have the right culture. It was interesting to me because Light comes from the Bill Belichick tree, right? He spent a lot of years there that helped.
He had two stints in New England.
Develop his philosophies, and Belichick loved taking troubled guys in.
That was Al Davis' move.
He did it all
the
time.
He takes
LeGarrette Blount from the Bucks because Greg Schiano thinks, he's a little selfish, this guy, and he's not helping us too much. He goes to New England. He's a hero, a Super Bowl hero, and he walks in there. And he's like a top 8 or 7 kick returner that year.
Which
didn't use him.
If you're going to do that, you got to have some leaders in your locker room.
Not just that, but you have to have credibility. What I mean by that is Belichick had credibility.
Real quick. And he signed Randy Gregory this offseason. So what is that?
And once again, Randy Gregory makes an appearance on the Ira Kauffman podcast.
I know you try to dismiss it, if not ignore, that Gregory never happened. This is one reason why that pissed me off then and it pisses me off now. If they would have signed someone off the street, who wanted to be here, who wanted to work, who wanted to produce, how much better would this team be? Well, here's a perfect example. Did anybody outside of Denver ever hear of Shaq Barrett in 2019?
Nobody.
Nobody. He comes here, he blows up, and they win a Super Bowl because of him. But I'm not saying someone else would have been Shaq Barrett. What I'm saying is, you bring someone in here that wanted to work, that wanted to be here, that wanted to win games, that wanted to produce. Maybe he gets 8 sacks, and your team is better off for it.
Instead, that could be the winning edge. Could be a winning edge.
Yes, and instead they wasted their time with Gregory, and then when the preseason training camp starts, he's nowhere to be found, and the Bucks are sitting there with a pile of crap in their hands.
I'm going to give the Bucks front office a little bit of a break because I think it's fair to say that Randy Gregory and his representation lied to the Bucks, misrepresented their client, and that happens
sometimes.
What a shock. So, you know, that can happen. I can't put it all on Light if they gave him a whole bunch of
to me, it was
BS.
A minor stumble. Stumble.
But also Lee's kind of making Jason Light's point in, hey, Shaq Barrett, ultimate high-character guy. And we went after this guy because we thought we'd get the most out of him within our high character culture.
And we like what Bowles could do with this guy, too. Yeah, that was a big part of it.
But I just, you know, I love what the Bucks are doing with the homegrown and the high character. It's working. But, man, don't close doors on
troubled but talented players.
Like you, Ira. Troubled but talented.
And part of that is what Steve's talking about. What Belichick had credibility. Like, Tlaib is a guy I bring up. We always bring
another nutcase.
But he behaved when he was a Belichick. And why? Credibility, winning.
Culture.
Exactly.
And he's in the Super Bowl with the Rams a couple of years later as a starter, as their top corner. You just have to have the right touch. But, you know, I trust Todd Bowles with managing players because he's done a great job with these guys. And last year, look, there was a hiccup. Not that it would have created a crazy ripple, but Keyshawn Vaughn stormed out of a practice. Didn't he bail out of
when
he found out he wasn't, when he got demoted? Or maybe it was early in the season. Yeah, when he found out he wasn't the backup running back anymore.
The depth chart came out, and he didn't like that.
Yeah, and so these things happen, Sage. Ira, who'd you talk to in the locker room that wears an actual jersey today?
Well, I talked to Winfield. I talked to Whitehead. Boy, is he happy to be back in Tampa.
He's back on the practice field now.
And back on the practice field. I expect him out there with Winfield together. Hell of a tandem, Lee. You know the only safety tandem that I think might be comparable? Is Atlanta. You know, after they picked up
probably better
their guy. Yeah. Who else was out there? Talked to Mayfield a little bit. He didn't go to the podium today, and they didn't bring him out. And now they got 4 days off, Lee. 4 freaking days off.
So what did Whitehead say? Tell me something he said there.
Well, I asked him about, I was talking to Winfield about Jaden Daniels. And the first thing that Winfield said, interesting, he goes, "We don't have a lot of tape on this guy. We don't have a lot of tape on him, except for his college days."
There you go.
But he played sparingly, I think, in the preseason.
Yeah, next to nothing, yeah.
Yeah.
You go by his college tape, and you go by the offense that they're using. Kingsbury, you go by his offense.
Winfield, he says McLaurin's a very good receiver, which he is. What else they got?
If they study Kyler Murray, they should be okay with Jalen Daniels. They're very similar quarterbacks, only Daniels is bigger.
So, Ira, 4 days off, that's rare. We can go back and look and double-check, but forget the degree of rare. He doesn't have to give them 4 consecutive days off before the opening game week, but maybe that speaks to the culture because he trusts these guys to not get in trouble. Nobody seems to get in trouble. But 4 days off, that's a lot.
Are they also going to have Tuesday off, just like make it like a game week?
Yes.
That's what I'm under the impression.
So that's 5 out of 6 days.
Monday on, Tuesday off, and then Wednesday. Maybe they'll practice in pads. Maybe they won't. It'll be a regular game week. They usually come back Labor Day, but 4 days off before Labor Day. Usually it's less. Either way, Sagey doesn't have to do it. Why?
Looking at December.
That could be part of it, Lee. That could be part of it. Injuries are always on their minds.
Yeah.
Always. I want my guys ready September 8th. I got to have a full crew September 8th.
And I think it's league-wide outside of Pittsburgh. Used to be guys showed up at training camp with beer guts and pack of Chesterfields a day. And training camp was to get in shape. Well, now guys are already in shape. The goal, instead of getting in shape, is making it to week one healthy. And I think a lot of that, you know, the money, investment. Got an investment. You got to get them on the field, which begs the question, why are they farting around preseason games for them?
Now, Steve, you Buck fans are going to like this one. Talk to Whitehead about Godwin. And because Whitehead's been away from the Bucs for a couple of years, I thought it gave him more of a perspective around the league. I said, what's Godwin's reputation around the league? Not in this locker room. And he goes, a pro's pro. That's the highest praise you get, Lee.
That's a perfect description of him.
A pro's pro.
He's a pro.
People have called me that, and you disagree, Steve.
I agree.
And then here's the line, Lee. Here's the line. I said, what are you expecting out of Chris Godwin? 2024. Quote from Whitehead. He's going to crush it. He's going to crush. I think he will, Lee.
I think he's happy as heck. He's back at slot.
Lee, Ira predicted Godwin to have more receiving yards than Evans this year. What do you think?
Are you suggesting Evans will not break 1,000?
No, I am not.
Okay.
No, I am not. By hook or crook, he's getting 1,000, Lee. You know that.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if Godwin has more. That's not negative about Godwin.
He might thrive in the slot, Lee.
He might thrive, but I won't say who told me this, and I'm not going to tell you what this guy told me because it was strictly off the record. I would be surprised at that. Just knowing what I was told by someone who would know.
If they go with McMillan and, of course, Evans and Godwin, as the primary three, and Trey Palmer as just a change of pace. Steve, do you think they suffer a little bit by not having enough speed on the flanks with those three guys if Palmer's not on the field? Does that hurt them?
I think Evan's speed is underrated. Until he's not a deep threat by the naked eye, he's still a big-time deep threat. I don't really think they're going to have a set number three right away, and I think Godwin's going to get a ton of use, and they're really going to try to figure out exactly everything he can do. If I'm Leon Cohen, I don't really know Chris Godwin. I know a lot of things he can do. We saw them go back to that wide receiver screen in the preseason. He could do that all day long and get 9 yards, but I have a feeling they're going to use him a lot. You know, they love Cade Otton. I think Cade Otton gets more targets than McMillan. I don't know. To answer your question, I'm not sure.
Do you think it hurts their yards after catch if Palmer's not on the field?
I wouldn't go that far.
This team does not excel at yards after catch, Lee. It doesn't.
No. Okay, I see what you're saying.
And it's never been an Evan strength.
But that can change with the scheme and how they're setting up the play. We'll see.
I think I can disclose. Remember how I used to harp in a good way that, man, this Palmer is so quick out of his routes that they need to utilize his speed more than just, you know, stereotypical take the top off. I was told that was a focus. They want to give him the ball more to use that speed, not just run down the freaking field and see if he
Jason
run
Light pretty much said that on our podcast right here, right in front of us.
Someone else told me that, too, that is on the field.
More, Stevie, quick. In a perfect world, in a sense, isn't Godwin returning to the slot taking kind of McMillan's position?
Yes, could that
hurt McMillan?
We'll see how. No. I think so. I think we'll see how good McMillan really is. You know, we talked about this a little last podcast.
You okay with McMillan?
I got
on
a
the
lot
flanks?
To see.
Yeah, I've seen what he can do. Yeah, I'm okay with it. You know, I've said this before. Him and Palmer are yin and yang. You know, they both have separate skill sets that the other doesn't possess.
We'll see. You know, Chris Godwin, you look at his rookie year, he wasn't tearing it up. You know, I just don't have this extreme confidence in McMillan. I think he'll be a good player, which is really all they needed
they
to,
don't,
to
yeah, exactly. They don't need him to be a star.
They don't need him to be a star.
Now, if he's a star, I want your comment on about this, your take on this, your reaction to this. I read something the other day, a couple days ago, and it really hit home for me. Your offense is only as dangerous as your number three receiver.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
Think about it, though. When a team has a really good number three receiver, he's number three. That means the other two guys are even better.
It certainly helps, Lee.
It certainly helps. Antonio Brown was the number three receiver with the Bucs.
I wouldn't say it's a requisite.
I'll agree with you, Ira, that
it's a luxury.
It's a luxury.
It's a luxury.
But I thought that was very interesting.
But you need a good third target. I'll give you that. For some teams, obviously, if they've got that 1,000-yard tight end, you know, it's a different story.
And here we are again at Hooters, Steve.
Here we are at Hooters.
And that's not a problem.
And we thank Bill Curry Ford for all their support. Get shopping there now and get out there this weekend, Bill.
Labor Day coming up, Steve.
CurryFord.com, CURRIE. Thank you, Florida's Elite Restoration. Unfortunately, there's no holiday weekend for disasters, so be ready.
Josh and his crew, always ready.
Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And, Sage, it is kind of fun. You know, you mentioned, or Lee mentioned, the Steelers being the sort of the lone wolf playing everybody hard in the preseason. Well, the Ravens do it as well. The Browns played some starters.
That might be a division
thing, Steve. And against the Bucs in the preseason opener, we saw the Bengals roll out the first team offense. And that's considered the best division in football.
Take the Ravens in the under.
Yeah, what's going on with that AFC North, Stevie?
Take the Ravens in the under.
There you go.
Here's why. This will freak out Bucs fans. Guess who they just signed to coach offensive line? They signed about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
You sitting down, Steve? George Warhop.
That's enough. Warhop. All right, Sage, we will see you next week after your four-day vacation. How about that?
And we will be in game week mode.
Game mode with a lot of predictions. Next podcast will be fun.